there was a lot of thuds. Do you think we could just get in there, grab her, and...
I think we gotta try.
Yeah. Something definitely happened.
Yeah, but we did hear a bunch of thuds, so...
Back away from the door in case all this stuff comes pouring out.
I'm going in. I'll hold my breath. I've seen Cece in many forms. I'm sure I'll recognize them.
Luke, watch your feet. That's all I'm saying. Because you don't know what she was, so just watch your feet.
Okay. Hold my breath. Open the door.
Welcome to Reddington. Please avoid taking any roads with maple in it, as a high schooler's science project has gone rogue. Welcome back to our final chapter of Flurgy Quest 2022. When we last left our brave citizens, Luke, Penn, and Johnny have taken to finding anyone or anything they can to answer some of their questions. Or maybe just what they can smash up along the way. Nihlus and Justin June were headed towards the elevators to get the cryptids they had found with Flurgy out of the evil laboratory, but unfortunately, the ceiling has collapsed, separating them into two groups.
Justin June, you know, turning around and seeing that the ceiling has come down, goes, well, shit, sorry, damn it. All right, look. I'm gonna get you guys out of the building, and then, Nihlus, can you hear me? Are you over there?
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff, almost fell on top of me, but took a step back, just in time, okay, and in one piece, all of my, associates over here seem to be pretty good as well,
Now, I'm gonna try to get this group out of the building. I'm gonna try to get them out, and I'll come back. I'm coming back. I swear to you, I'm coming back for you.
The junior Bigfoot starts crying.
Please save the snack, ma'am.
I promise I'm gonna go back. I'm gonna go back and get it. But the point of coming here was to get y'all out of here. So we're gonna get you out. We're gonna get you hidden behind some trees, and then I'll come back and I'll get the snack, man. I promise I will. Promise. Cross my heart.
Freddy the Fresno Nightcrawler balances on one leg and rests the other on Junior's shoulder, gently reassuring him. I assure you that no matter how weird it may seem, it's a heartwarming scene. On Nihlus's side of the rubble pile, the phoenix and jackalope seem eager to help the snack man as well.
Can they fit through spaces in what's blocking our path to join the little parade on the way out, or?
Maybe not yet, but they are certainly able to start clearing a path.
I mean, if I know rabbits, they are just going to start chewing on whatever is.
Upon closer examination, the jackalope does seem to be nibbling on something.
Yeah.
Jackalope's eating insulation now, yay.
I'm see if maybe I can see if we can maybe clear some of the stuff out of the way. I guess yeah, if you want to head to the elevator, I don't think it was too far up and get some of them out. I'm gonna try to open this up a little bit.
All right, that's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna try to get them out, and I promise you that on my word, I swear I'm coming back.
And with that, Jessa June shepherds her cryptid companions to safety.
So while Jessa's doing that, I think Nihlus is going to finish up his apple. And he's going to take the seeds from it and kind of chuck them into the pile of debris. And then he's going to try to cast a spell. He's going to reach out and connect to the seeds and try to, like, rapidly grow them into a mass of trees to lift up the rubble. So he kind of just tosses these seeds in there and then kind of closes his eyes and reaches out to them and finds the particular thread that is connected to them that is their connection with this particular point in time, and just kind of plucks on it a little bit to speed it up. Kind of like, so it's like a vibration through that, and just kind of increases the resonance on it to speed up their connection with time, so that they just kind of start roots, you know, erupting out of them, and then just start growing upwards and heaving the rubble out of the way.
While Nihilus tests his green thumb, let's check in with Pen, Luke, and Johnny.
Yeah, just wondering if Flurgy either can smell, you know, familiar scents and or, you know, I mean, he does read minds that are near him. So, like, whether he's sensing anything.
Flurgy stills, reaching out to try to detect any nearby scientist's thoughts. Sensing none, he takes a deep breath. After a moment, he turns in the direction the scientist must have fled.
He would certainly think to Luke,
"You smell that this way."
Wait, so Flurgy smells the scientist that way, or?
Yes, and is double checking with you that you also, like, that he's got the right direction, because I think Flurgy, it's been a time in there, so he's got, I would imagine, a bit of PTSD and sort of like, I'm smelling everything.
Yeah. I also smell it.
At first whiff, Luke smells scientists everywhere.
But it's like a bit stronger in this direction in terms of temporal.
But following Flurgy's lead, he hones in on the concentrated stink of the fleeing scientist's fear.
I smell him. Do you want to hunt them down?
Flurgy just growls deep. You know, and sort of puts the image in Johnny and Cece's mind of which way they're going and what Flurgy is feeling. So everyone sort of gets a moment of,
we should go this way,
from Flurgy in terms of voting for things.
Johnny hasn't even looked at this fucking map that we grabbed. So if the giant three-eyed tiger is leading us in a direction, Johnny would follow along, especially because he's got a lot going on right now, and since Flurgy can read minds, basically what is happening in Johnny's mind is there are I would say about 600 of them are done eating at this point, at least. So there's like hundreds and hundreds of voices in Johnny's head that are just going, chanting over and over and over again.
Johnny's gonna kill you. Johnny's gonna kill you.
Okay, well, if Flurgy is picking up on some of this, it is amping up Flurgy, and his growls are just getting, like, deeper and more resonant, and his entire body is straining in the direction of the door. And Pen, noticing this and certainly getting all the vibes off of everything, although not hearing Johnny's gonna kill you, is just sort of slow walking through all the sparking debris that that is behind them.
All right, first and foremost, Luke is a big brother. Like, Luke's okay to let this happen. Luke is also very concerned about who else might be here. Like, the idea that there are kids in here, or that they're taking magical creatures or magical kids, he is thinking about Jessa June when she was little. But he's down to let revenge happen.
As we're going along sort of the route that Flurgy would lead us on, I would just say any of the places that are marked on this map as, we store children, animals, and elderly people here. When we pass those places, I would say that we can stop, open them up, let whoever out, and then keep on rolling.
I think Luke is happy for, like, if you happen to find scientists and kill them on the way, that is one less obstacle for us getting whoever we need out of here.
I kind of feel like kill the scientists, then rescue.
If they get out, then they get out. That's job done for Johnny. Really, he wants to make this whole facility unusable. And if he gets a person, that's great, because he can deal with some shit. But just, like, as we're going along, I would say that Johnny's just, like, wrecking everything walking down the hallway. If there's glass, it's broken. If there's, like a cart with computer bits on it or something like that, that's smashed.
Smashing things, crashing open doors, etc., etc.
while Team Property Damage turns the laboratory into their own private rage room, Jessa June and her cryptid companions safely make their way to the elevator. A few minutes after Junior Bigfoot presses the up button, the door dings open.
I think she's actually going to take them up just to make sure that she can get them out of the building and, like she was saying, tuck them between trees or have them head home or wherever Junior and Freddy came from. Just get them out.
One elevator ride later, the coast is clear. But Team Flurgy did not approach covertly at all, and they cut a very noticeable path to the lab.
I mean, once she gets them up there, she'll just say, don't go that way. Whatever you do, don't go toward that way. If you gotta go the long way home, then go the long way home. But y'all go. Just go, run, get away from here as far as you can go. And take the unicorns with you. I know they're gonna wander off.
Jessa June gestures towards the unicorns, which have already wandered a few yards off to graze on some lush grass. With one of her arms already outstretched, the Junior Bigfoot tackle hugs the werewolf.
Jessa will let him hug her. She'll like pat him a little bit on the shoulder.
Thank you.
And with that, Freddy, the Junior Bigfoot, and the unicorns disappear into the woods.
If they're gonna go, then Jess will turn around and go back.
Another quick elevator ride later, the doors slide open to reveal the pile of debris that has blocked the way, supplanted by a tree.
Jess is gonna like stare at it for a second and go, Nihilus, is that you?
Nihilus is actually like right next to the elevator. So after you walk on, but I'm right here. Is just like holding the jackalope, and the phoenix is on his head, and the salamander's probably on his shoulder.
Just like for a second, I swear to God, I thought you were the tree. All right, there's nobody up there, so yeah. There's nobody up there, so if we're gonna get the rest of them out, we ought to go ahead and do that, and then we can come back down and see what's going on with Flurgy and Johnny and Luke and all of them.
Nihilus makes his way into the elevator with Jessa.
Yeah, that would probably be for the best. I do really want to try to avoid the meat grinder as much as possible. Not still a little concerned about that whole concept. So I'm definitely on board for the rescue mission here. I am a little worried about how far things might go. So yeah, we should probably go find the rest of the group.
After making sure the remaining cryptids escape, the duo heads back into the lab to find their compatriots.
I'm assuming we just listen for the smashing sounds.
The sounds of destruction lead Nihilus and Jessa June along a trail of carnage. As they near the cacophony, the duo peers into a now doorless laboratory filled with the sparking and twitching remains of robotic arms, old-timey spinning wheels, and shelves of iridescent yarn. A little further down the hall, they find a lonely door lodged deep into a wall as though it has been thrown with tremendous force. Its upper half, still visible, bears a placard that simply reads, Unicorn Yarnotron. All hair must be kept short or contained in a hat or helmet. No loose clothing, neckties, jewelry, or the like. A handwritten sign adds, This includes you, Derek. How have you made this mistake more than once anyway? Nihilus and Jessa share a shrug and continue towards the noise, finally arriving to find Flurgy, Johnny, Luke, Penn, some unicorns, and some very annoyed teenagers who have taken a note from Penn and picked up their own improvised weapons.
Are they fine to join the meat grinder? I don't think teenagers can join the meat grinding sort of situation.
Yeah, because I think I like if they start smashing stuff and whatnot, it doesn't matter. Penn's gonna step in front of them, and you know, and the unicorns are nearby or whatever.
The unicorns are nibbling on anything they think looks like a tasty snack.
Awesome, actually, that's great. I think it'd be looking at Luke and going, any way we can get these kids out while we keep going.
You three, listen. I think Luke has changed back into, like, human form now. You three, listen. You know me. I'm a Greeley. I work at the Growlin' Prowl. If you get these unicorns, get to that elevator, and get yourselves home, if you come to the Growlin' Prowl, I'll let you drive around whatever car you want for a day. With supervision! Just get!
Wait, does that mean if Norman brings his car in, I get to drive his car?
With supervision. You are not to crash any cars. You can drive around cars. You know, preferably the junkyard cars, but yeah. Just get home.
Fucking awesome. We'll see you next week. And the teens each grab a unicorn and take off towards the elevators.
On my shift, not on anyone else's shift, only on my shift.
I think Penn has, the kids have sort of sobered Penn a little bit in terms of, therefore, they're going to ask if we can look at that map and be a little bit like, maybe, you know, is there anything else? Are there any other kids here or around or anything on the map? That is a clue.
Examining the map, Penn finds where Flurgy was held in an area labeled Exports, at the other end of the series of corridors the team has been systematically wrecking, which are all labeled Production, is Imports. Everyone is currently standing in Thaumatological Phlebotomy.
And we have emptied out Production, and we have emptied out Thaumatological Phlebotomy, yes?
Shipping, Export, Production, and Thaumatological Phlebotomy.
To be entirely honest, Cece's not going to recognize what Thaumatological Phlebotomy means. and we have not gotten to Import or Holding. Penn's going to look up and actually, again, calm down brain now that the whole group's together again, but particularly since Jessa June's here and okay. I would smile and just also say, did you, animals?
The animals are out.
Yeah, they're all up.
Yeah, they're out. And they're gone, as far as we know.
But they weren't really interested in just hanging out around the entrance, which I can't really blame them for.
This map, there's more. Import and Holding, you want to come with?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Holding first, Imports last.
Holding first, Import last.
Import sounds like there will at least be an open way to leave this place from there. So that can be our exit. Right. We don't have to go out the way we came. And it'll at least give us a vague idea of the size of the facility that we're dealing with when we pop out and, we're 7 miles away from where we left the van, you know?
Right.
And
that was a huge.
My thoughts
huge.
Are that if anybody's coming here, they might be coming to there.
Right. Did we destroy the van?
The van that they were driving?
Their van? Oh, we smashed that up.
It's pretty solidly in a tree, so...
Okay, good, yeah. Good. Okay.
I mean, they could fix all it, right. But it would take a while.
It would take a while, yeah.
I'm guessing they probably just have other trucks, too. They're probably not going to just fix that one.
But... Johnny, lead the way.
All right, we're going to roll on to Holding.
Nihilus may not be in for the meat grinder and be right up front, but Alistair would be. Would be definitely down for scouting ahead. I think Alistair would probably just kind of like slip through under the door and just kind of get us and basically scout ahead, see if there's any people in there. And
Alistair zooms towards the front of the group, but before he makes any progress, a low pitch blares from the corridor's PA system and the fluorescent lights overhead go dark. A short series of flashing black lights erupts from the light fixtures. Alistair disappears, repelled by whatever eldritch science this alarm was built with. Nihilus is unprotected.
Nihilus is unprotected as he's surrounded by two werewolves, a shapeshifter, and fucking Johnny.
If the alarm that managed to repel Alistair didn't make it obvious, the holding area has significantly more stringent security than most of the lab compound. All of the magical creatures that the scientists bring in are funneled through this wing, and the security wards have to be able to handle anything. There are also a lot more security guards stationed here.
Are they securing anything in particular?
Johnny can't tell, but as he scans the room, he recognizes that the vents in this area are fitted with the same types of fans that were used to disperse knockout gas in the last evil lab.
What kind of armament are we dealing with on these people? Are they got the stun batons the last guys did, or is it guns?
The guards are all carrying stun batons, no guns.
Johnny's going to turn back to the crew and relay all of this information, and specifically, they have vents in the ceiling with crazy fucking knockout gas. I don't know how much they care about the people that they have in here. And I don't know what these people are guarding or watching.
Wait. Cece sort of stops Johnny. There's knockout gas? Is there a way to...
Might be something we gotta find out when we go in the room. Which I'm not thrilled about.
What I'm suggesting is I can go in like a fly. And if there's a vent, I might be able to turn something.
Okay. Nobody's coming in or out of this door until you come back.
Okay. Is it all right for me to go in as a
trouble,
fly?
If you get become something fucking huge and make a ton of goddamn noise. And we will be in there and we will help you. I'm not going to leave you in this room.
Wouldn't Flurgy be able to tell us if you're in trouble?
Maybe. If the room's really big, Flurgy can only hear so much.
I mean, it makes more sense if she gets into trouble that she just makes a hell of a lot of noise, because we're going to hear it. And there's no way we're going to stay out here in the hall if Cece's in trouble. I'm not going to stay in the hall. I mean, I'm going to go in and start kicking some butt. So...
It might be that I just go in as a fly, look
now,
around to come back.
Now, if there's no one and nothing in there that needs rescuing, I say we find a way to fucking lock them in this room. And we just leave them here.
Cece, if there's no one in there that needs rescuing, if you can find out a way to turn on the knockout gas on these people... Do that.
And not knock yourself out? Yeah, that'd be great.
Not on yourself, on them.
Cece is getting a little confused.
Just don't breathe.
Okay,
after.
I got it. All right.
Believe in you,
Cece. I'll be back. Thank you. I will turn into an insect of some very normal variety that can fly and get underneath the door, you know, when I... So... I flit under and around, and what am I seeing?
They see plenty of security people huddled up talking. There don't seem to be any creatures in holding right now.
Okay, so everyone's a security person. Uh-huh.
Listening in, Cece learns that the convoy that the group took out on their way to the lab was a pickup team, and with all of those cryptids freed, the holding area is empty until the next batch of new arrivals shows up.
So, Cece is fleeting around, doesn't see any sort of animal in danger, just sees a bunch of dickhead security guards. And then notices the little valve and remembers what Luke said and sort of gets up their bravery and becomes a mouse sort of like crawling along on the top of the gas valve. And then with the little hands, squeak, 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 but right before like tell that it's all gonna, you know, really open up and let rip, goes, as much as can get into their little mouse lungs, and turns the thing, and then goes, like, lets out a little bit of the air, which is stupid, but there we are, goes, beep, and then remembers to hold the rest, and jumps off as a fly, and is as fast as they can, back towards the door, still trying to hold down their little fly breath.
Unfortunately for Cece, morphing repeatedly in such a short period of time takes a lot out of them. No sooner have they turned into a fly and started to buzz away do they feel fur start to ripple back out of their quickly growing form.
It's been a long day. Yeah, so that's fine.
Mouse Cece paddles in the air as their wings retreat into their body and then plummet to the ground. The impact takes their breath away. And when they breathe in, the knockout gas, well, knocks them out. Everyone else at the door hears a small mouse-sized thud, followed a few minutes later by a larger human-sized thud.
There was a lot of thuds. Do you think we just get in there, grab her, and...
I think we gotta try.
Yeah, something definitely happened.
Yeah, but we did hear a bunch of thuds, so...
Back away from the door in case all this stuff comes pouring out.
I'm going in. I'll hold my breath. I've seen Cece in many forms. I'm sure I'll recognize them.
Duke, watch your feet. That's all I'm saying. Because you don't know what she was, so just watch your feet.
Okay. Hold my breath. Open the door. Look down. There's a mouse. Oh, all right. Grab mouse. Leave. He was...
Close the door. Close the door.
Close the door. He was here. Cece, are you okay? Cece?
The resting rodent gently snores in Luke's hand.
You didn't happen to see Alistair in there, did you? I'm not sure where Alistair is right now.
Oh, that's not good.
He's just sort of a blue light, so...
I mean, it depends, but mostly,
I can look for a blue light, I guess.
All right, here, hand her over.
Here, you pass the mouse.
Once again, Jessa with a Cece mouse in her hands. She will poke open the pocket and put Cece in there and just readjust the shirt. Go on about her business.
And I guess holding my breath, I look into the room again to see if I see a blue light. Come back out, close the door. I don't see any light. I mean, the regular, like, fluorescent light. I don't see a little blue light. You lose your will-o'-the-wisp friend.
I'm not sure. This is kind of new to me. It's ever since I found Alistair, I don't think we've ever really been apart in it. The whole phantom limb thing, like when you can feel something, but it's not there, but you know it's not there, but it's kind of like that. It's weird.
Maybe it's the building. Maybe the building did something. It's not good that all of a sudden he's gone, Mr. Nihilus. I mean, we don't want you to lose him.
I think you would hear Flurgy say in all your heads,
"And they have magical measures here too."
Oh, Jessa doesn't like that.
No.
Nope. No.
Luke, trying to be calm.
What kind of magical measures?
I don't know them all, but I can't hear anything in that room.
Nihilus, if you can't hear your friend when we have sky above us, I will come back in here and I will look for him with you, I promise you. I think that there's something about this place that is designed to fuck up anything that they bring here, so that it is at an extreme disadvantage. At least disadvantaged enough that a bunch of average guys possibly making minimum wage can handle them.
We will find your friend. We will keep an eye out for him. I don't know how to find a little blue light in a place like this.
I don't even know where to begin either. But you're right. We need to get out of here. Alistair.
Do you want me to walk in?
No.
No,
Mr. Flurgy, sir, but no, don't, nobody else go in that room. Nobody else needs to fall down asleep. We need to see if there's anything else we need to find, and we need to get our butts out of here. I mean, it's not doing us any good being in here, I don't think.
No, Alistair, if anything can take care of themselves, I'm sure it's Alistair. So you're right, we need to go. I'm just a little flustered right now.
I promise with everybody else, we'll help you find him. We're not going to just leave him somewhere by himself and you without him. That's not right, but...
We will not leave without him.
Flurgy comes up, and because he's taller than you, because he's horse-sized, bends his enormous head down and sort of rubs it against your shoulder and says,
"I will find him."
I guess we should go then. Yeah,
All right, y'all, we hit shipping.
I appreciate that.
Let's hit receiving. And let's hit whoever's fucking there.
All right, I think as we walk, Luke, like, reaches over and, like, takes Nihilus's hand. It's like, Nihilus, I don't know a lot about you and your friend. I don't know. It sounds like he's been with you for a while. And that must be disconcerting. But we'll find him, and we won't leave you alone. All right?
I appreciate that.
On their way to receiving, the Flurgy friends happen across a room labeled Emergency Procedure Equipment. Peeking through the door, they spy a clothing rack bearing sterile-looking coveralls and some helpful gas masks.
I think I'm having a brain smart, guys. Yeah.
Brain smart? Sorry, that's not what the boys call it.
Johnny's
going to
get dressed up. If there's anybody out there, they might just think something happened to the facility and I work here, and they'll let me get close enough to them that we can mess them up. Any human-shaped person should put them on, and that means, Flurgy, you gotta hang back a little bit.
Okay.
Flurgy pads back and is just sort of next to Nihilus in that sort of, like, with his big shoulder sort of rubbing Nihilus half-protectively, but also aiming for the shoulder, probably getting part of the head. If you were a regular-sized cat, he'd be looking for pets in terms of, like, to calm you down.
It's fall at Garibaldi's. That means you can save on all our latest offerings. Whether it's our super convenient pre-packaged products or our delicious homemade hot meals, we have just what you need to stay warm in the blustery November weather. The Bodega is also pleased to announce our exclusive partnership with Maple Leaf Farms to offer their beloved Unicorn Swirl ice cream. Rich unicorn cream, magical swirls, and edible glitter will make for a fantastic treat you won't soon forget, and you can only get it here. Hooray! You also know how important it is to never forget your Thanksgiving plans in Reddington, and you wouldn't want to be a terrible guest by showing up empty-handed, so if you forgot to bring a host gift or a side for the meal, swing on by and check out our special seasonal offerings. Maybe a jug of delicious maple-flavored apple cider. Also from Maple Leaf Farms, apparently. Who are you? Whether it's for Thanksgiving or just the Reddingtonian on the go, don't forget about our delicious hot bar. Our meals don't just rotate on the spit, they rotate on the calendar. November brings turkey sausage, egg and cheese croissant sandwiches, your favorite guava pastelitos, and chicken empanadas back onto the menu. Yum yum! And why not wash it all down with this year's mystery football-flavored drink. All proceeds support Reddington Community College, and we promise there's no pigskin in it. As far as I know.
Oh, and please come get some Halloween candy on sale. It's in the way, so the sale's great.
Remember, if you need it, Garibaldi's probably has it, or something just as good.
A quick wardrobe change later, and the group makes their way into Imports. Which is a mess. Papers are strewn everywhere. Computers have been tossed around, their hard drives missing. Doors were all left open, key cards in locks, even security badges left on desks, as if all of the staff fled as quickly as they could. This is the third time their labs have been hit after all. Which, I suppose, says a lot about their labs.
If there's like security badges and key cards, Johnny will, he habitually steals that kind of shit. Like keys. That's just like things that Johnny steals anyway. Johnny's gonna pick up one of these walkie-talkies and press the talk button and then just say, "Is there anybody listening?"
After a moment, Johnny hears a crackle and then,
"Who is this?"
Johnny presses the button again. "I'm the guy that you should be extra worried about. Who's this?"
There is a pause.
"I'm the person you should be worried about."
Johnny presses the button again. You sound really sure of yourself, and I'm glad for you. Maybe you have good reason to be. Maybe you've been in a lot of fights like this before, And maybe you've won a bunch of them. Hell, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. And I'm going to say that you've won every single fight that you have ever been in. But you have never, ever been in deep water with a motherfucker like me. And if you keep trying to swim here, I will drown you. I will bury you and every person you send to this city in their own blood. There are a half dozen guys knocked out in a room right now. Do you want them to go home and see their families? Because I don't. We can make a deal today, you and I. Or we can keep doing what we've been doing for the last however many months. Honestly, I'm fine either way, because I made a promise. And I have to keep those promises. I told you there are a trillion eyes and a million mouths, and they will eat you, because I am going to feed you to them.
That's a wonderful speech. Maybe someday you'll understand multiverses and that we were trying to help you. But that's okay. We'll leave you in Reddington.
And with that, the walkie-talkie clicks off.
Stay the fuck out of Reddington, shithead. And he throws the walkie-talkie down. Well, if he doesn't give a fuck about those guys, Flurgy, they're all yours.
Flurgy is back doing the horse-sized equivalent of rubbing Nihilus's leg. Johnny turns back and tells Flurgy to go and...
You want them, they're all yours. This is your shit, not mine. I just care that they bleed.
Flurgy is going to ask, since Johnny's in hazmat and their other hazmats.
I would like to speak with them. If you would go in and drag them out, I would like to have a word.
Oh shit, yeah, that's done and done. But Johnny will go in, put the mask on, make sure it's all secure and everything like that, and then just, you know, roughly throw folk over his shoulders, and then when he gets back out of the room to imports, he'll just start dumping them roughly on the ground, dropping them hard.
If there's multiple gas masks, Luke is helping, but also, like, keeping an eye out for Alistair, even though all Luke knows about Alistair is little blue light, which isn't super helpful. I don't think I see him anywhere. But also throwing people around, because the chance to throw people around with Johnny, of course Luke is taking that chance.
So when the people are coming out, as well as, like, seeing them, Nihilus is going to be like, like, it's kind of all coming back together too, and Nihilus would want to do something about that. And if CC is too exhausted to stay awake, that's fine, but at least drawing out that exposure. So with the guys out in the hallway, and also since they need to be conscious to talk to them, Nihilus would be rummaging around in his bag and pull out a bundle of green onion, because onion absorbs sickness. So he's going to, like, just, like, rummage around. He's going to look that over. He's going to look, flip through his notebook for a second. Okay, yeah, he just kind of, like, bite off the whole end of the bundle of onions and kind of, like, put a little smear on each person's forehead, and then also on the little tiny dot on the mouse forehead.
Are you smearing chewed up onion on Cece's head while she's in Jess's pocket?
Nihilus would turn and say, could I just see Cece for 1 second? Nihilus is not just going to walk over and go beep.
Yes, Jess will hand Cece over, and you can smear chewed up onion on her, and it's fine.
And then it's going to set them down in the middle and try to just, like, draw the poison, you know, whether it's, you know, even mild knockout gas, but basically draw out the malignant substance from everybody after the men have been bound.
I think when you do, presuming it works fairly quickly, you know, there is a sort of eep type thing, and the little hands sort of go like as if they are holding a carrot and very excited for a moment. Look up at an enormous Nihilus and be a little concerned and curl a bit into a ball and look around and like flip themselves over onto their tummy and hold on to the edge of Nihilus's hands and take in the whole scene, including bodies being brought in and realizing, and I think Flurgy probably sends calming vibes, you know, their way. And so I think they just sort of creep back with their little nose over, and the bit of the end of their fingers over Nihilus's hand is just sort of staying put. Because also they know they barely have strength to even become a human again. They're so tired. And that gas, like, yeah, it's been drawn out, but like, yeah, like, you know.
So I think with the panicked kind of and concerned looking around in there, Nihilus picks up on that and reaches on and pulls out a little bit of carrot and puts that in his hand with CC.
CC looks up at Nihilus because it has been a weird day with Nihilus too.
Nihilus sees this mouse looking up at him. It's just a piece of... takes it and he takes a little nibble of the carrot and then puts it back down in his hand.
CC does accept the carrot. But it's also looking over at Jessa June, like, with a big mouse side eye.
Jess is offering her... You want to go... if she wants to go back on... Yeah. Jessa will take her back and just plop her back in the pocket.
and CC takes the carrot in their mouth, but also, like, creeps up over the pocket again with like, the nose in the mouth and the carrot and does look at Nihilus and sort of nods thanks and then goes back into the pocket again. and munches away on the little carrot. Flurgy! Meanwhile, if everyone's in a pile, there's one person that really enjoyed coming in and like talking shit to them, would turn on the electricity a little bit higher. Yeah, just someone who's just a little bit more of an asshole. Of all of them, so if they are starting to come to as well, thanks to Nihilus, Flurgy is padding over and puts his paw on the chest of, what should we call the guy that is a particular asshole and enjoyed this job a lot? Trevor. So puts their hand on Trevor, whose name they know. And looks at all of them and growls deep in his throat. And his talons are coming out just a little, just to, like, prick different parts of Trevor's torso. Not drawing blood, just there. And his third eye is very open. And he is looking at them and he says,
"Tell everyone this will stop, or this will happen. I know who you are, Trevor. I know what you've thought, and I know what you've done to other animals when you were a child. You've been expecting this, and now it's time to pay."
And he digs his nails all the way through Trevor's chest, bursting his heart, and then pulls out the entrails, throws them to the side, looks at the other guys, and just goes,
"Run!"
Still tied up, the remaining guards stumble to their feet, fumbling over each other to escape out of the nearest hall.
I think as the other security guards run down the hall, just to add on to Flurgy's message, Luke is going to throw back his head and howl.
You can't howl without making Jessa howl, so you're going to have a little wolf chorus there going
echoing
on
after them,
so,
as they run down the hallway. Yeah.
Out in the woods while they're running away, there's other howls going on.
Back at the Greeley house, Boone is like, "What are they up to?"
Just FYI, I don't think CC watched any of that. I don't think that they could handle it. And I do think, though, that Flurgy knows sort of that and would be sending or even saying to CC's little brain just,
"I'm sorry, little one. It did have to happen. Stay inside and don't look."
CC's gonna stay down.
Nihilus is just like, pale as a sheet, staring at this. His hand just like slowly goes to his mouth, and it's just because I'm sure Trevor deserved it. Nihilus doesn't know how much that Nihilus assumes the best in everybody and that there's always time for a second chance. And so I think Nihilus is a little bit like just in a little bit, yeah, in a little bit of shock.
I got a gas can bag in my van. I say we get out of here, come back, and I'll set this place on fire.
That sounds like a good idea to me.
Flurgy.
Yes.
Are you good from here? Do you live in this forest? Do you live someplace else? I can't really give you a ride.
Flurgy just chuckles. Just because it's so adorable that this human is trying to take care of him. And then he says,
I live wherever I want. And where I want to be right now is with.
And he sort of like lifts his nose and sort of sniffs towards where Cece is.
They and I have much to speak of. Thank you.
And Flurgy puts out one paw with the other sort of back. And bows gracefully to Johnny.
Johnny gives Flurg like a little two-fingered temple salute. And like, hey man, same. Game recognized game. Look after that one. And I guess we'll see you around the neighborhood.
You might. Sometimes I like to get lost.
Hard same.
Seeing how pale Nihilus is, even though Luke was in on the let's fuck these guys up, he kind of like tries to put a comforting hand on Nihilus's shoulder. Look, I think you need to get home and rest. I know we still haven't found your friend. Would setting this place on fire hurt your little lat friend, or maybe like clear things out so we can find him? Or I don't know magical physics of things, but Johnny, I am so down to light anything and everything on fire if you want to. Don't want to burn up anybody's friend here.
Hands always welcome.
I can't imagine it would hurt him. This is all very new to me. It's the first time, like, since it's been so long since I don't quite remember what it's like to just, there just feels like something is just missing from inside. And then he starts to turn back towards the Trevor, and then look immediately, like, stops himself and is back away just towards Luke, and just I think are you all okay? I think I might need to go.
I think we should go, and we'll see about maybe getting you home, Mr. Nihilus, or we could take you to our place, and you could rest there for a while if you wanted to.
You know you're always welcome. We can get you cleaned up and rested, and maybe your friend just being here what was too much for him, that you heard about the magical protections and measures or whatever. Maybe he'll show up again.
I think I would just like to not be alone right now. Yeah.
If you don't want to be alone, I mean, honestly, Mr. Nihilus, there's plenty of room. I know the boys would be glad to see you, but they can also be quiet. I mean, they know how to be quiet. And Daddy would make sure that they left you alone. If you just want to have someone around, they don't have to sit in the room or nothing with you. But if you just want someone around to, like, if you need to talk or you just want to hear noise or something like that, you're welcome. That's all I'm saying, is you're welcome to stay there for as long as you need to until you find your friend, until you're feeling a little less shaky, whatever you want.
Come on down to the house. You don't even have to cook. Daddy'll make barbecue.
Cooking is, you know, always helped take my mind off things. So I think still stick with the plans for dinner tonight. I think that might. It's always been a nice way to kind of, you know, for me to zone out. But no, I appreciate that, and maybe just not being here anymore would be for the best.
Sure. Yeah, let's get him out of the hallway at least. Yeah,
out in the fresh air.
Stretch my legs and just, you know, get the little fresh air, and I'll be fine. And just kind of works this way, like, yeah, back down the hallway. Or Johnny, is there a way out here? And
I mean, there's got to be big, like, roly doors, right? To let in.
Yeah, I would assume that imports has got some kind of way for their shitty fucking trucks and vans and things to get in here. Yeah, so instead of going back through the whole thing, whatever the quickest way to Sky is, and then if we can figure out where we are, we can kind of get a scope of how large the facility is and things like that. Johnny will slam the button on the garage door, and for the most part, keeping his own countenance, he has quieted down a good deal, and he is himself trying to calm down from all of the things that have been going on. And in Johnny's mind, the 600 previous voices have now been joined by more of their others, and they're no longer saying, "Johnny's gonna kill you, Johnny's gonna kill you." Now it's a series of things, it's things.
"We had a deal, made a promise. You made a promise. You let them go. Why did you let them go? You shouldn't let them go. We made a deal."
And just things like that over and over and over again as Johnny's sitting there, and he'll sort of say very quietly to no one after everyone has walked out through these doors, just, "Shut up," and then exudes.
Does Flurgy hear any of that?
If Flurgy's nearby enough for telepathic stuff, Flurgy would have been able to hear all of these things going on.
Okay, I think Flurgy would just note that and is willing to talk about it later in case you need help with promises.
If everything is basically wrapping up, like we're making plans to get Nihilus to the Greeley house to go and get gas and torch this place, before everybody sort of splits and goes, Jessa will actually go up to Johnny and just be like, "Just check in. Are you okay?"
"Oh yeah, I'm right as houses. Sorry. It's just been a weird day."
It's been a day. Yeah, it's been a day, that's for sure. Okay, I just wanted to...
I'm usually pretty good about letting the weirder stuff that I see just kind of water off a duck's back, you know? But three-eyed tigers and whoever's on the end of this fucking walkie-talkie who keeps fucking with me, it's just, it's been a weird one.
It's definitely been a day. Well, look, you know, you're always welcome at the house, too. And if there's anything ever that I can help you with, just say the word. I mean, on anything. I mean that. I mean anything that you need. You are more or less part of the family, Mr. Johnny. And so if you need it, and I will do my best. And if I can't do it, I'll get the boys to come and help, or Daddy, or we'll find a way. So if anything ever, I mean that. Thank you. I'm not going to smack Cece. Thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Cece, hearing this, would be crawling out of your pocket and sort of leaping over to Johnny's shoulder to sort of go up around his neck and give him like mouse hugs.
I want y'all to know I might have started living this way because I didn't have any other choice, but I live like this because I like it, because I'm not chained down, I'm not trapped. Nobody runs what I do with my life. Nobody tells me where to go, what to do, what to put on, anything like that. I am free. I had to lose so much to be free, but I am free. I don't ask you for a place to stay because I don't need one. I, you know, I'll come over for dinner. I'll hang out. I love doing all of that shit. You don't need to worry about any of the ways that I live. It's very unconventional, I understand, and I know that it causes some people to worry, but...
Oh, I ain't worried so much about how you live. I think the way you live is pretty cool, to tell you the truth. I'm just saying, if you need us. That's all I want you to know. I'm not trying to put no chains on you. I'm not trying to hold you down or nothing. I just want you to know that if you need us, or you want us, but if you need us, then you got us. That's all.
Greeley, you're all right.
Thanks.
Upon torching and bombing the labs, the Flurgy friends we made along the way are able to break the wards and release Alistair, keeping him away from Nihlus only 3 days. The spectacle that is two best friends reuniting after they have been forcibly separated. Well, I think it's safe to say they deserve to have that moment in private. Nihlus and Cece stayed with the Greelys for a few days, but it wasn't long before the former was pulled into the most deadly case the News Bulletin has researched yet. Thank you for listening to Welcome to Reddington. Reddington's monsters are controlled by Meg Griffin. Episodes are edited by Alice Hart and Alex Lavelle, who also handles the script, and is produced by Algie Todd. A special thanks to Red Griffin for our character art, and to Michael Sands and Evil Hat for the Monster of the Week gaming system used in this podcast. We will be back soon for the start of Mystery 9, which is our final mystery in Season 1. If you are liking the show, we would appreciate it if you could leave us a rating and review wherever you listen to podcasts. Welcome to Reddington is created by Feathered Frequency Productions and is part of Haunted Griffin Entertainment Network. Please check out our website for more of our shows. Today's episode starred
Emily C.A. Snyder as C.C. Mark Penn Stratus.
Sarah Palmero as Jessie June Greely.
Algie Todd as Luke Greely.
Mick Wheaton as Nihlus Wheeler.
M.L. Earhart as the Righteous Johnny Lydon.
And today's guests included
Danielle Lincoln as Nicola Garibaldi.
And Red Griffin as our Junior Bigfoot.